Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. It's Friday. Let's go. I'm going to say it a little different than Jill does. Matter of fact, she ought to be coming home pretty quick. She's been up in the mountains way too long. Okay, let's check out some weather. I got to say hello to a little young man here in just a minute as soon as I get through with the weather. 74 degrees at Buffalo, 70 degrees at Camargo. How about them temperatures? 84 at Hollis, 82 at Hobart, 76 at Hinton. Beaver, you're 71 out there in the panhandle. Beautiful day. Let's see what's going on out here in West Texas. 74 at Lipscomb, 73 at Canadian, 85 at Dozer, 85 at Wellington, 85 at Odell. So just beats yesterday. Man, and let me check it out here real quick before I go on. We got lots of rain up towards north of Woodward, up in the panhandle, up Follett. Looks like anywhere, if this is right, 2 to 3 inches of rain around Ashland, Buffalo, a half inch to maybe even 2 inches. Slap out, 2-3 inches. Woodward, maybe inch to inch and a half. And then just some more showers headed over towards Helena and Enid and that area. Just nice rain up in there. So anyway, it was up north where they said there is flood advisories for Woodward, Major, and Dewey County, all basically along the North Canadian River there. It's at its banks. I think some farmland's already been flooded, according to the news, or is flooding. How's that? So anyway, if I come up with any more on that information, I'll let you know. But she's pretty full right now, so, which is good. I'd rather it be full than empty. Don't want anybody's land to get damaged, but sometimes you got to take the bad to get the good. So anyway, I wanted to say, give a big shout out, hello, to Mr. Boone Nation. Mark, his dad, sent me a Snapchat right before the show started. And I might be wrong, but it looked like that might have been Rod Carver's corn that they was going by. And Boone was looking out the window saying, hey, that's corn. And so anyway, big hello to Mr. Boone Nation. He knows to spot crops where there's going to be deer and ducks at. So anyway, big time hunter. So anyway, have a great weekend there, Mr. Boone. All right, let's see what's happening, or let's see what happened last night. Markets were crazy yesterday, but I think they'd come back down a little bit today. Grain, this was overnight. Grain and soybeans dropped in overnight trading on profit-taking after prices surged this week. Futures rose throughout much of the week after Russia exited the Black Sea grain deal and began bombing ports in Ukraine, destroying grain and infrastructure. Moscow said that any ships leaving the Ukrainian port will be targeted, while Ukraine suggested vessels departing Russian ports are considered a threat. Russian forces, which have laid siege in Ukraine since February of 2022, have bombed Black Sea ports all week after exiting that deal that was designed to keep ag products flowing in a bid to reduce food prices and world hunger. Wheat futures were up more than 10% for the week prior to the overnight session, and corn and soybeans each saw single-digit gains through Thursday. But investors who were long on the market or bet on higher prices sold contracts and booked profits after this week's run-up. Prices also may be lower overnight after the U.S. Drought Monitor release yesterday showed the percentage of Iowa and Illinois, the largest growers of corn and soybeans in the U.S., seeing drought conditions decline. About 78% of Iowa was suffering from drought as of July 18th, down from 87% a week earlier. Still, only 32% was under drought 3 months ago. 66% of Illinois was seeing drought this week versus 83% 7 days earlier, according to the monitor. 0% was suffering from drought in mid-April. Corn futures for December delivery plunged 12 cents to $5.34 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat futures for September delivery lost 17 and three-quarter cents to $7.09 a bushel while Kansas City futures plunged 27¾ cents to $8.47 a bushel. Soybeans for November delivery down 13 cents to $13.91¾ a bushel. Soy meal lost $6.80 to $4.03.80 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.06 cents to $62.48 a pound. Export sales for beans rose week to week, while corn and wheat sales declined. Soybean sales in the 7 days that ended last Friday rose 58% from the previous week to 127,000 metric tons. Netherlands was the big buyer at 65,400, followed by Germany at 56,000 tons, and Japan around 20,000 tons. For the 23-24 marketing year that starts on September 1st, sales were reported at 760,000 metric tons. Exports for the week fell 29% to 240,200 tons. Corn sales, meanwhile, were down almost 50% week to week, but up 6% from the average. Columbia bought 110,000 tons. Unknown destination purchased 58,800 tons. I'd like to know what these unknown destinations are. I mean, why wouldn't you talk about it? This is USDA. Come on. Honduras was in for 17,000, and Mexico canceled cargoes of 15,300 tons. So did the Dominican Republic. They nixed about 10,000 tons. For the 23-24 marketing year, sales totals 491,600 tons. Corn exports for the week declined 22% for 383,800 tons. Wheat sales last week fell 57% to 170,000 metric tons. Chile bought 78,000 tons. Japan took 49. Mexico bought about 35. And Brazil even come in there with 33,000 tons. Unknown country canceled shipments of 66,000 tons. Exports for U.S. wheat for the week came in at 236,000 tons. That fell 39% from the previous week. Storm warnings. Watches are in effect all into northern Oklahoma. Severe thunderstorm warnings and watches are in effect this morning for much of northern Oklahoma amid strong winds and hail in the area, according to the National Weather Service. I didn't catch it, but I had a friend telling me about, or I think it was my father-in-law actually telling me about, Valcaster checked on a train that got blew over with 90-mile-an-hour winds. That'll do it. Anyway, it's those double-deckers. Wind gusts up to 70 miles an hour were expected with the storm, and they got it. Flood warnings have been issued for several counties in western Kansas as storms rumble through that area. From 2 to 4 inches of rain have already fallen. In a few locations, it may take several hours for all the water from these storms to work through the local draining systems in urban areas. There are not a lot of urban areas in southwest and western Kansas, so it shouldn't take too long. Another instant precipitation is forecast for that reason. In eastern Nebraska and western Iowa, non-severe storms are possible today. Scattered thunderstorms are forecast for Saturday, which could bring hail and gusty winds through the likelihood of any storms turning severe. Anyway, talking to a friend on the phone this morning, and he was just rolling into southern Minnesota when I talked to him. I was asking him what the crops look like up there, and I think he was coming in on the western part of Iowa through that area. And he said what he had seen so far with the corn up there didn't look too bad. But he said, man, once he crossed that line into Minnesota, that it was a whole different ball game. You could see they were really, really, really hurt for moisture in that area with their corn. So, anyway, well, when I come back, I'll give you a brief update on the market, grains market right now. We'll talk about the futures on live and feeder cattle. Elk City's livestock auction is going on right now. I seen on Facebook all ago that they were, as of this morning early, they were expecting 600 plus head, but last week they were only expecting about 900 to 1,000. They end up with 1,300 or 1,400 heads, so we'll have more on that probably Monday. And then I did a breakdown of all the sale barns in northern Oklahoma on calves, heifers, and steers. And I got a breakdown on that, give you an update on that. The market's looking still pretty strong is from what I can see right now. So we'll be right back after that.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We will be an ag bank forever. There's just no way around it. Western Oklahoma, that's kind of a big deal around here. And we like to structure that stuff to where it fits your operation. You know, one size doesn't fit all. We're able to take what you need and have it fit you specifically. It helps guys with their cash flow. It gives them a little relief knowing they don't have to come up with a payment during the slow time of the year. They're not having to sell calves early to make a payment. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed and corn, forward sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with a seed.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Hi, I'm Gary Owens, the owner of Galleria Furniture. For 18 years, we've been bringing you the best furniture deals in Oklahoma. We have bedroom sets which includes queen bed, dresser, mirror, nightstand, and matching chest. Our competitor's price is $1,099. At Galleria, it's just $799. And remember, we'll beat any competitor's price or it's yours for free. Visit any of our seven locations, including our huge main store at I-40 in Portland.
Appliances not included.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
XIT Auctions will be selling a good farm equipment auction Saturday, August the 5th, just east of Altus, Oklahoma. Trucks, tractors, trailers, a nice combine, and much more. For more information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call me, Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440. That's Saturday, August the 5th, 7 miles east and 3 miles north of Altus, Oklahoma. Check all the details out on the web at xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, Mark Nation just sent me a Snapchat, said Boone's eyes got really big because he didn't believe me. I was going to talk about him. And there you go, Boone, I was talking about you. You're just another special kid out here in western Oklahoma. All right, let's see what the weather's doing out here in one of the Texas panhandle towns. Let's go with Goodland right now. 84 degrees, heat index at 86, humidity's 55, dew point 66. The winds are out of the north at 5 miles an hour with wind gusts all the way up to 8. But the peak wind gust so far today was 37 miles an hour. So they Had a little storm roll through there. Month-to-date precipitation, and good look, 3.60 inches. 8-inch soil temperature is 86 degrees Fahrenheit. So there you have it. All right, let's see here. Let me go to my email. Sorry. Where's it at? Let me go back there. There we go. Announcement for Greer County. Because I know some of you guys don't get your emails on your flip phones, so I'm going to help you out here. Here's some message from Greer County. August 1st, the county committee nomination period ends. August 31st is the final date to request 2024 NAP coverage for small grains, wheat, barley, oats, rye, and Truticale, alfalfa, and cool season grass mix forage. And then LFP, livestock forage program, Greer County has qualified for the LFP on cool season pasture, including small grains, on 11/15/22. Now that was last year. Keep this in mind. Don't be blowing their phones up down there saying that they heard there's another program out, because I'm just repeating to you what's on the email here. And warm season pasture on 4/15/23. If you have land that you've leased from someone and have not picked up these lease forms, those are ready for you to be picked up at the FSA office. Wise thing for you to do is call, see if they've got it for you, and then go in and get it. Once you provide your numbers and all leases return, we will load your application and contact you to sign that application. So anyway, if you haven't done that already, you're way behind. Anyway, CRP producers, based on the drought monitor, Greer County is eligible for emergency hay, graze, or CRP. You must apply and be approved prior to starting the practice of hay graze of CRP. And I think that's already been kicked in and everything's going on that program. Here's the most important thing I think that would help out your any FSA, county FSA, no matter what county you are. Be sure and update changes in your records if you've bought, sold, any land or changes in lease land. And I'm going to add to that, keep a good record on your cattle. Always keep a good record on your cattle so you know what you got, where it's going. Some disaster happens, man, it's up to date. So anyway, that's from Greer County FSA. Like I said, don't call them and say that Jimmy Clark on that there today in the Ag Show said you guys got some more signups for me. No, this has been in effect for a while, so I'm saying that they're keep repeating it. Is there some stragglers out there is what I'm thinking. Anyway, that's beside the point, so we'll keep on. All right, let's check out what's going on update on the market. Let me update it real quick. A lot of red on the screen today on this one. Corn for September, 525, down over 11 cents. December's 534, also down over 11 cents. Soybean for August, actually up 7 cents at 1502. September's 1429, up 3. Soybean meal for August, $441.40 a short ton. September's 424.90. Soybean oil for August, 69.48, up a dollar. Not up a dollar, but up a penny. Anyway, September is 66.23. Hard red winter wheat down 12 cents today so far for September at 8.62. December's 8.67. Oats are down about 2.5 cents to 4.41. And that's for September, 4.56 for December. Let's see, let's scroll on down here. Cotton's in the green. How about that? October cotton, 0.85 cents a pound. December's 0.84 cents a pound. All right, let's get to the live cattle. August down, 37 cents at 179.95. October is 182. December's 185.47. February's 188.57. Feeder cattle for August, 245.67. September's 249.17. It's actually feeder cattle are in the green today. August lean hogs is 100.87. October's 84.17. And December is 76.87. Crude, Oil, West Texas Intermediate, up $1.19 today at $76.84. Natural gas for August down a little bit, about 6 cents at $2.69. And September also $2.69. S&P, NASDAQ, Dow, they're all in the green. You know, I forgot about sugar. What's sugar doing today for Sugar Daddy? It's up over 25 cents today. So anyway, he's back in the profit. I'm still disappointed in that man for not having any sugar cane on top of his Ranger in the parade last Saturday over at the Dust Bowl days. So anyway, it is what it is. Okay, let me find my cattle breakdown that I did a while ago. Okay, this is just an overview from two or three of the sale barns up north in northern Oklahoma. Compared to last week, feeder steers are steady to $5 higher. Feeder heifers are steady. Steer calves steady on a lighter test. Heifer calves $5 to $10 higher. Demand was moderate. And all kinds of good things going on there. So I'm going to give you a little quick breakdown on some of the steer on the steer range. We got some 439-pounder average weights. We're bringing up to 298. Some unweaned ones in the bottom of the four, or lightweight 400-pounders up to 291. So in the 400 to 500-pound range, what I'm seeing, there's not a lot of difference between the weaned and unweaned. Not a whole bunch. There is a little bit, but not a whole bunch. Right here, for example, some 523 weights, 254 unwinged, and some 557 unwinged ones brought 262, and then some 571 winged ones were averaging 261. So, I mean, there's just not a whole lot of difference there. 800-pound steers, anywhere from 223 to 248. I'll let you do the math on that one. And 900 pounds, we're bringing anywhere from 219 to 235. And then some 1,000-pound weights, 206 to 225. So, anyway, some expensive steers. How's that? Okay, here's some heifers, some medium and large number ones. 4 to 5 weights, we're bringing anywhere from 257 to 274. 5-weight heifers and 5 to 6 weights, we're bringing 225. The top end was 269. And then on some 6 to 7 weight heifers, anywhere from $2 to 247. 7-weight heifers, 224, 229. 8 weights, 211. And some heifers over 1,000 pounds, 181.50. And then bulls. Some 4-weight bulls we're bringing 290, some 5-weight bulls up to 276, 6-weight bulls up to 245, and that's about it. That's about all I got for you there. So anyway, good market, great market. And so anyway, I love it. I don't know what to say. I talked to my landlord in the city today describing her calves to her out here west Elk City, and I told her they were probably 50 pounds ahead of what they were last year. And she said, well, you're doing a good job. And I said, it had nothing to do with me. It's all about green grass. And I think all of you agree with me. The cattle look so much better this year with green grass, luscious green grass. They're just, cows look good. Calves look great. We're getting ready to preg check coming up a week from today, 8 o'clock in the morning. And so if anything drastic happens, I can tell you guys, if I'm able to make it to the show Friday at noon. But anyway, we're going to preg check cows with Dr. Mouse and then fence line wing the calves. So anyway, lots of work coming up in the next couple of weeks with cattle and everything else going on. So anyway, I did get to go out and check my dry land corn that I planted in April, that I had planted in April. Yesterday, I've been avoiding it for about 5 days. I went out there. Doesn't look too shabby for dry land corn. Got some blasting going on. And I guess according to agronomists, blasting's caused by when it's in pollination and the heat wave hits like it did there. What was that, 2 weeks ago when it was pollinating or whatever time frame that was when we got those 2 days of 105 to 110 degree temperatures and 40 mile an hour winds. So anyway, He didn't look too pretty, but it's going to make some corn. How about that? It's called farming. So, got that going on. Well, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. And when I come back, I'll have your northwestern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas Panhandle forecast for you. And I got all kinds of things to talk about. I want to raise a little commotion with an article that come out of Southeast AgNet about greenhouse gases. I'm doing it more for the fun of it because, you know, I don't know where the USDA in Washington is getting all this money on this climate change and greenhouse gases. 4 years ago, we were struggling to get programs going and some help to the farmers, but they got all kinds of money to study greenhouse gases and climate change, and I don't get it. I guess I'm not that smart. I hope some of you guys get it. Also, the text line is wide open today at 580-225-9697. I really enjoyed hearing from the listeners, and if you got any comments after my greenhouse gas little brief live article, you're more than welcome. Keep it clean. I might repeat it on the radio, but I just like hearing from you guys. And then if you missed the show, and I'm sorry, we're not on Facebook Live. We're waiting on a new updated computer for the deal after the storm whacked it here a few weeks ago. And if you miss it, you can always go to KECOFM.com. Click on that little deals, whether you're on your phone or your big computer, go to on-air shows, go to Today in Ag, and every one of my shows is on there. And I always title them, so if you miss something like Kent said or Lori Campbell said a week ago or something like that, I've always got it titled where you know you can find the show really easy. So anyway, also, if you're traveling outside of our radio range of 96.5 KECO and 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward, we have a free app available for you on the phone, your iPhone, Android. It's called Paragon Communications. Really easy to find. It's free. You can listen to Skinny on the Sports. You can hear Drew on Tradio if you're in Florida laying on the beach. And you got the early morning show with the Landry brothers. And, of course, there's the always Sean and Butch with the energy show. But you can find all those right there on that Paragon app, no matter where you are, as long as you got Wi-Fi or signal in the world. Anyway, had a listener from Germany here last week. It was pretty cool. So, anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners. This is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
They say that Jimmy Clark can watch the show 60 minutes in 20 minutes. Good afternoon to Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 14th. 1,315 head were sold. Three head of steers at 362 brought 318. Four at 509 brought 274. Seven at 514 brought 282. 11 at 567 brought 276. Five at 585 brought 270. Three at 772 brought 214. Three at 872 brought 208. 12 head of heifers at 265 brought 286. 17 at 475 brought 245. Five at 529 brought 238. Six at 636 brought 225. 12 at 653 brought 232.50. Five at 711 brought 223. 20 at 739 brought 221. Butcher cows were 80 to 121.50. Butcher bulls brought 90 to 136. Bred cows were 950 to 2200. Pairs brought 1325 to 2800. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Shop local, buy local, save big deals. Hi, it's Jenny from your local Big Deal store. If you've never visited our website, you're missing out because we've partnered with some of the best local businesses in town. Dozens of gift certificates, all discounted, ready for you to buy today. Here are just a few of the businesses you'll find.
Keith's Butcher Shop, Big Splash Burgers, The Vogue Boutique, and more. Simply log on to KECOFM.com and look for the Route 66 Big Deals logo.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back after that Wheeler General Store break. If you guys never been to the Wheeler General Store in Wheeler, Texas, you need to get on stick and get her done. Great people. Charity and Nathan are wonderful people. As a matter of fact, I just seen Nathan last night at Sayre. Anyway, you get a chance to go over there and shop with them, show them your appreciation to all the support they give to all communities on both sides of the state line in Oklahoma and in Texas. They would appreciate it and give a little back to them. So anyway, I picked Buffalo, Oklahoma. 74 degrees. Feels like 74, dew point 66, and humidity 76, 24-hour rainfall, 2.26 inches of rain. Good for you guys. Winds out of the north at 9 miles an hour. Pleasant day up there right now, especially that fresh rain they got. Sunset is at 8:55 today, mostly cloudy and 78. Tomorrow is back to the real world, 87 and sunny. Sunday, 95 and sunny. Monday, hot, 100. Tuesday, hot, and 102. Anyway, I'm glad you guys got some good rain showers up there. That'll green the pastures right back up. So, or if you wasn't green, it'll just add to them, make them grow. How's that? Okay, let's check this deal out here. Where is it? So, the USDA is requesting public input on the draft of the federal strategy to advance greenhouse gas measurements and monitoring for the ag and forestry sectors. Let's take a listen to this and then we'll have comment session afterwards. How about that? Give me a second here.
The USDA wants the public's opinion on greenhouse gas emissions. That's coming up on This Land of Ours. USDA is requesting public input on the draft federal strategy to advance greenhouse gas measurement and monitoring for the agriculture and forestry sectors. The draft federal strategy outlines a framework for enhancing greenhouse gas measurement, monitoring, reporting, and verification within the agricultural and forestry sectors, with a special focus on the administration's Climate Smart Agriculture and Forestry Initiative. It also aligns with ongoing work across the federal government to quantify carbon sequestration and carbon dioxide, along with methane and nitrous oxide emissions. USDA recently announced a $300 million investment to advance priorities set by the strategy. The notice in the Federal Register seeks information on four topics: general comments or questions about the draft federal strategy, animal agriculture, croplands, and data and data sharing. I'm Sabrina Halverson for the Southeast AgNet.
Well, you know, we had that conversation with Kent the other day about carbon, so we don't have to cover too much about that, but just say it's just a laundering scheme. Anyway, so I came up with this brainstorm about measuring greenhouse gas out of cows. So, you know, during the spring, late spring, early summer, we put when you're doing the AI program and you install these seeders in these heifers and cows for breeding, I was thinking if somebody could come up with a greenhouse gas measurement deal, we could either zip tie or duct tape these measurement devices to that blue string off your seeder, and we can measure greenhouse gas off the heifers and cows and get an accurate measurement. I mean, because I'm sure they're using more advanced technology, radar and stuff like that. But I mean, I was just thinking that. I don't know if it'd be good or not. But after doing a little more investigation, that, you know, direct emissions from beef cattle are only 2%. 2% of the U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. And so, just crazy. They just keep spending money on stupid crap. And they're going to try to blame the farmers and the ranchers for their cattle, their tractors, and all this other stuff. And I know it's the United States Department of Agriculture, and they should be the backbone of the farmer and American rancher. But I probably wouldn't have noticed so much if I hadn't been doing the show. But I keep looking. I search 100 emails every morning during the week looking for stuff that I hopefully interest you guys and what to talk about. But this is the Rush Limbaugh part of me today, talking about this. I think it's so much waste of money with this climate change and these greenhouse gases stuff and this carbon crap. It's just a waste of money where we could benefit farming and ranching and be better stewards of the land with that money being spent in a better place than this stuff that they don't even know for sure exists. So anyway, we'll see you. That's just my thoughts on it. I'm sorry. It's not professional. I don't hold the radio station responsible for anything I say today. So anyway, just my thoughts, and I'd like to hear back from you guys. I know I did get a text in during the break that my bud up here in the suburbs of Salt Springs, which, by the way, is, I think, west of Freedom, right there into Harper County, had 2 inches of rain this morning. So you guys go up there, get some rain, get some good pasture. Dinosaurs passed more gas than cattle, and we had an ice age after them. Yeah, probably so. We're not going to have an ice age after this. I mean, check temperature out there yesterday. Ice age is the last thing on my mind. So anyway, yeah, thanks for your comment. Okay, let's see here. All right, this was an interesting fact coming out of Missouri. I got this off the Beef Network. Missouri Governor Mike Parson recently signed a public safety bill package that includes increasing the penalty for individuals who interfere with the transportation of livestock. Currently, interfering with livestock transportation is a misdemeanor that carries a $1,000 fine, but the new law makes it a Class E felony for the first offense and a Class C felony for any offense after that. Number one, stops or otherwise what this bill defines as the interference of any of the following. Stops or otherwise interferes with a motor vehicle transporting livestock, provokes it or disturbs livestock when the livestock is confined in a motor vehicle or probably trailer. They didn't have anything there, but probably trailer. Puts or places a substance on the livestock that affects its health or use. Missouri Representative Brenda Shields sponsored the bill after a pork processing plant in her district had reported problems with people stopping or slowing down trucks. throwing tainted water into the trailers and putting hypodermic needles into the hogs. I don't get that. Wow. Anyway, this affects the entire process, especially if needles are found, she explained to the local news, KTTN. And the processor expects the pig hadn't been tampered with, she said. They go through with the entire process to the plant, making sure the pig is clean and free of any contaminants. And if they come across one of these hypodermic needles, the entire plant shuts down until they can find the source of where it comes from. The entire line is clean, and they leave production time. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen that TikTok out there where that bull hauler was coming around that corner and these guys were standing out there and thinking that guy was going to slow down. You don't understand. Some of you guys know some of these bull haulers. They're bringing in their load. They've been up a while. They're not in a good humor. And pretty sure they don't care about people out there with signs and all that other stuff. Them guys got way out of the way, so you know, pretty quick. So that's, you know, I hope all states pass that. I don't think we got any issues with it like that going on. But you know, if these people were so worried about hogs getting slaughtered or the cruelty to animals, PETA or whoever, Humane Society was worrying about that, they wouldn't be throwing tainted water or hypodermic needles into the animals. So it's being very hypocritical. And I got another deal to add to that. I got a little bit of time here. Animal rights. The Animal Agriculture Alliance released two reports detailing the interconnectedness of animal rights movement, as well as tactics targeting animal agriculture. The animal rights extremist web exemplifies how animal rights groups are strategically connected in many ways, including personnel and financial support. $800 million of income into these anti-animal rights activist group. $800 million. Think about that. That's a lot of money. They can mess with some people with that kind of money. No matter the animal rights extremist group or the tactics used, they all share the same goal of eliminating animal agriculture and taking meat, dairy, poultry, eggs, and seafood off our grocery store shelves and family tables. According to Abby Cornegie, manager issues and engagement, Animal Agriculture Alliance, these reports detail that those true intentions, the strategic efforts of the animal rights movements to further their agenda, and key tactics for animal agriculture community to be aware of. So, briefly here, before I go to break, nearly one-third of animal rights extremist attacks documented in 2022 targeted farmers and food workers, putting them and animals in danger. Documented direct actions towards animal agriculture include 95 incidents with vandalism, 70 stolen animals, 60 criminal trespasses, 10 arson cases, and 9 harassment and intimidation incidents. So, there you go. Crazy world. So anyway, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I was a teacher, and so I taught him in high school. What I always noticed about Mickey was what a leader he was. And part of it is because he's so willing to do the work himself. We had an incident this past December. We had the freeze in Mangum, had a pipe bust in the wall, and it's just a mess. And Gary called Mickey, and honestly, the plumber did arrive first, but Mickey and his daughter were right behind them. They brought tools, and they helped Gary clean out the bedroom, and they mopped the floor, they took the carpet up. And when they left, I told Gary, I said, we couldn't live in a better town, because that would never happen anywhere else. And we're very thankful to have him. I'm Celia Nippert, and Gary and I use Mickey Lively because we know that when we have a need for our insurance, that Mickey and Farm Bureau will take good care of
it. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Do you love the great outdoors?
Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
I might introduce myself. I'm Clarence Robinson from Arapahoe, Oklahoma. Well, what I decided to do one day, I have a my wife, she had a 2019 Rogue, and I wanted to update. And so I decided that I go over to Wendy's because that's the closest Nissan dealer in Western Oklahoma. And I didn't want to have to go all the way to Oklahoma City. From there, it was all positive. So I went over there and I met this girl, Cassie. I told her what I wanted to do, and she says, well, I've got a Rogue out here on the lot you might want to look at. I think you'll like it. And so I was wanting something that I could use GPS for traveling, you know. And well, this had it. Had it all built in already. Didn't have to do anything, just push a little button, and that was it. I saw like that. They gave me a heck of a trade-in. Didn't have to squabble with them or anything. They're very professional, very courteous, and upfront and honest. I decided that I go over to Wendy's. Now I'm the owner of a 2023 Rogue.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, I won't pick the, I was picking, there she comes back, for your Hobart Farm and Garden, big city of Eric, Oklahoma, home of Roger Miller. 80 degrees, feels like 82, dew point 67, humidity is 64, no rainfall in the last 24 hours, the winds are out of the north, northeast at 13 miles an hour, sunset 8:52 today, 86 for a high, tomorrow mostly sunny and 89, Sunday 96 and sunny. Monday, hot and 101. Tuesday, hot and 103. Not much of a forecast going on there. So anyway, let's go back to Woodward or Sealand. Let me see. Let's get here. Let's go with Sealand real quick and see what if they're, how their flood advisory is going. Yes, you are Sealand right there. All the counties, no matter where the north, all the counties the North Canadian runs through, you're looking at a flood advisory until tomorrow evening at, or till tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, flood advisory, and just keep updated with you along the river there because they got some big rains up there in northern Oklahoma and southern Kansas this morning. So keep an eye out on it. Well, I'm going to finish this, the show off today for the week. This is kind of interesting. It covers corn, soybeans, and wheat, and they talk a little more about corn than they do the others, but it's about the marketplace and how to go about selecting new improved seeds, because I know some guys hang on to wheat seed or Triticale or rye seed for a long time, but in corn and soybeans there's so many different varieties coming out all the time that are supposed to be new and improved. So here's kind of how they go about selecting it. As new corn hybrids, soybean and wheat varieties routinely shoulder older seeds out of the marketplace, selecting new seeds brings up multiple questions. What will work best in your growing conditions? How will your management style impact the performance? For starters like Brian Jorgensen, chief agronomist for Jorgensen Land and Cattle Company of Ideal, South Dakota. He says the evolution of corn hybrids, for instance, is constantly changing. It's worthwhile to look at the newer hybrids. In our own system, I just watch the newer hybrids to see whether or not they might outperform what we're already using. I choose the hybrids that are the highest yielding, regardless of traits, he said. As a corn and soybean growers who practices no-tills and also grows diverse crops and cover crops on his family's 12,000 acres. I don't put a lot of value on test plot data from other farms, especially if they're not local. I want to see the hybrids perform under my management and my growing conditions. I want to see new seeds that will perform well in our environment and repeat the performance consistently year to year. Another grower near East Troy, Wisconsin, a no-till farmer and certified crop advisor, Jim Sloot, who grows corn, soybeans, and cover crops on 160 acres. He also looks for high yield potential in corn, but he also looks for standability and disease resistance. In corn, I look for hybrids that have stock strength. That's important to me because I use a custom harvester, and sometimes my corn harvest gets delayed. So he wants it to be strong, stout stocks. Having standability ensures that corn will be standing up until late into the season. And soybean, he looks for yield potential and resistance to both disease and lodging. And some for both soybeans and corn, Sloot looks for seeds that perform well across the range conditions. Often seed trials rate performance across traits and conditions by assigning the varieties of performance index. As far as genetic traits, he selects a hybrid with a drought-tolerant biotechnology trait. Weather variability has gotten crazy. We've gotten drought-like conditions for each of the last 3 years. I planted two hybrids in 2020. One had drought-tolerant genetic trait and the other did not. By comparison, the yield was significantly less in the hybrid without the drought-tolerant trait. Beyond yield potential, non-GMO corn and soybean grower Grant, I ain't even going to try to pronounce this guy's last name. It's German, I'll tell you that. He's out of Redwood Falls, Minnesota. He looks for flex ear corn hybrids. He also no-tills and grows small grains and cover crops on 950 acres. We find that corn with flexible ears let us plant the corn at the lower plant population. That gives our interseeded cover crop a little more sunlight. If we get plenty of moisture, the corn ears grow large, but if we get drought, the ears will be smaller. How about that? On selecting new seeds, Jorgensen then first on a limited scale, comparing their performance with hybrids and varieties that have proven well and well under his condition. For side-by-side comparisons, for example, is corn. He fills half the planter up with the new hybrid, and the other half of the planter with the hybrid proven to work on his farm. That result gives them a sense of how the new hybrid may perform across the farm. On the last thing, building soil health may at first glance seem unrelated to selecting seed, but indeed it plays center stage. The soil health Jorgensen has built over time on his farm is key to his ability to focus solely on the yield potential, disregarding other traits, including disease. He said by practicing the five soil health principles that Kent tells about every time he comes on the show, we will try to set up the soil system so there's a lot of ebbs and flows are removed from the environment. Healthy soil is more resilient and less reactive to drought. For instance, building soil organic matter and soil biology has improved water infiltration and increases plant life. Grant credits similar processes at his farm, eliminating disease and pest problems. As a result, they have reduced seed costs and received price premiums for their non-GMO crops. Jorgensen sums it up. The key role to soil health plays in selecting seed varieties. Because we have very little disease and insect pests, I can focus on yield potential of a new hybrid or a new variety and the ability to perform it in our environment, he says. There you go. You guys have a great weekend. Thanks for listening in on this Wheeler General Store Hour. Be safe out there. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.